Have you felt the world has lost its mind? That people don't have common sense anymore? Don't fear. This Common Sensocrat is here and you're not alone. You may agree, disagree, or just want to listen. If you're always up for a good time with some humor and some real talk, then you are in the right place. I'm going to update you all with the latest news in politics, culture, lifestyle, fashion, so much more. I am your host, Carrington Rowe, so gear up for the harshest truth, not the sweetest lie. Let's go. Welcome to another Newsday Tuesday, my Common Sensocrats. I hope you all had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. Yeah, at least I know I did, so I had a good time. We get into a lot today. So Jen Psaki, or I know it's Jen Psaki, but for those of you that know my show, know how I like to play with her name. She is messing up the left's message about pregnancy. More indoctrination from teachers. USA Today trying to fact check, and it doesn't end well. Job numbers in August and how people need to get back to work. Australia turning more and more into George Orwell's 1984. California and their gender-neutral toys. Two top vaccine regulators resigning over the Biden pressure. A diner temporarily closes due to too much popularity. Capital letters are apparently offensive. And a couple of good news stories that will make you smile. Let's go. Oh, Jen. So, Jen Psaki has done it again, folks. She's, she actually assumed a man's gender. Can you believe that? She assumed he was he's a male reporter, right? So she actually assumed he was a male. Just listen to this clip of Jen Pastupid, shall we?
Why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Who does he believe in should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected. Go ahead. I think we got to move on. I think we have to move on. You've had plenty of...
Wow! Oh my gosh, I can't believe she said that. Oh my gosh. So you're telling me a woman gets pregnant? Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Wow. The fact that she says he believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced these choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, end quote. Yeah, I thought men could get pregnant. I thought, according to her side of the fence, I thought men could get pregnant. Interesting. Wow. All right. Well, I learned something new every day, guys. And of course, she does the whole, you know, avoiding the question as much as she possibly can, you know, oh, well, he believes that it's a woman's right, it's her body, and it's her choice, and blah, 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 blah. Wow, so I thought it was birthing people. And the fact that she said her, okay, Jen said her, and said woman, I was like, wow, I thought it was birthing people, according to the left. But whatever, what do I know? If you're a third grader at Abraham Lincoln Elementary School in Glen Ellen School District 41 in Chicago, I'm sorry. Or please get out as soon as possible, because this teacher named Lauren Crow, she's quite an activist. So in the video, there's a video on TikTok. She's multiple videos where it shows that she's indoctrinating your kids. If you're in Chicago and in that school district, you probably have heard this by now. But these are the books that she was promoting in one of her TikToks. So the first one is Rainbow Revolutionaries, 50 LGBTQ plus people who made history. The next one, Stonewall, a building, an uprising, a revolution. Queer Heroes, meet 53 LGBTQ heroes from past and present. It Feels Good to Be Yourself, a book about gender identity. Papa, Daddy, and Riley. Those are the books she was promoting in this one video. And I would play it for you, but it's just all music and she's showing off the books. But in this one, let's just say this is quite the level of sophistication you can expect from teachers like her. So I know that's, again, just music, but just to give you an idea, she was dancing on a table, like basically saying so along the lines of like a black activist shirt. She had that on, and wearing a really, you know, I'm a fashion person. So obviously right away, I'm like, what the heck? But here is this specific one that you all need to listen to right here. So let me play this.
Let's discuss something, because it needs to continue to be talked about. You don't think white supremacy and white privilege exists? Check yourself. That's all.
Yeah, let's discuss something that actually needs to be talking about, Miss Crow. You're white. And you're talking about white supremacy and white privilege. So that must mean yourself, right? Yeah, I thought so. So anyway, and she has multiple videos that I'm just ashamed. It's so aggravating. But you know, the teachers, you know, school teachers, they love your children. And never would try to brainwash them with any of this garbage. I mean, I'm sure this teacher's curriculum in this woke activism that she does is just a temporary thing. Okay, carry on. USA Today did a fact check saying Biden didn't look at his watch during the ceremony for fallen service members, but then they issued a retraction one day later. So, yeah, for one, this story about Biden checking his watch, you know how I feel about that, especially if you listened to my episodes about the whole Afghanistan crisis and everything. But with this though, so one of USA Today's fact checkers named Daniel Funk, I think that's how you say his last name, decided to set the record straight. He said this in his tweet. He said, "New fact check, a viral photo makes it look like President Biden checked his watch during a ceremony honoring US service members killed in Kabul, but that's misleading." It says in the article here, Biden checked his watch, but he did so after the ceremony had ended. Okay, for those of you that are actually paying attention, you know that's not true at all. Because Biden did look at his watch during the ceremony. I mean, we have a thing called video footage, and that actually proved everything about Biden checking his watch. So, fact check that, Funk. But of course people got mad at him about this. So Funk was forced to correct the record of his original, attempt at this. So it says at the very bottom, updated article at the very bottom, it says, quote, corrections and clarifications. The story wasn't up or was updated September 2nd to note that Biden checked his watch multiple times at the dignified transfer event, including during the ceremony itself. The rating on this claim has been changed from partly false to missing context. Yeah, thank you, fact checkers. Yes. Yeah. Of course, even USA Today couldn't bring itself to really admit that Biden has committed such a shocking and obvious unforced error. So they had to essentially qualify it out of existence. So it says here in the article, toward the bottom of the article, it says, based on our research, we rate missing context the claim that Trump saluted the caskets of fallen U.S. service members while Biden checked his watch. The way Biden honored the 11 caskets presented at Dover Air Force Base with a hand over his heart was similar to how Trump paid respects to fallen service members during his presidency. However, Biden did check his watch at least 3 times, according to photos and video reviewed by USA Today. Okay, so Biden did publicly disrespect fallen U.S. troops multiple times during the casket ceremony. But it's okay because he was at times able to feign interest long enough to hold his hand over his heart. Okay. Yeah, so that's what USA Today did. And it's just funny that... Yeah, it's good to see that after 4 years of the relentless dishonesty and dissembling levels under President Trump, that the media, they're finally reverting to their older, more workaday levels of dishonesty and dissembling. Yeah, everything seems back to normal to me, don't you think? All right, we got to talk about the August jobs numbers. So the August jobs report added only 235,000 when economists were predicting about 720,000. And that I would call a huge miss. And the unemployment rate is 5.2%. Also from the numbers here from the Department of Labor. So it says here from the Daily Wire, it says the economy added 235,000 jobs in August, far below economists' predictions of 720,000, and a sharp drop in job growth, if I can talk, from the previous 2 months when the economy added 962,000 jobs in June and another 1.1 million in July, according to the Department of Labor data. Yikes. Man, this gives me a flashback to April. Do you guys remember that? I did an episode on that about when they were reporting about doing the April jobs report. And it was way off. And even the CNBC reporters thought it was a typo. Do you guys remember that? Yeah. They're like, oh, wait, I'm looking over the numbers here. And they don't know what to say. And they're embarrassed because they were rooting for Biden. And they flopped. And then it continues here in the article. It says, in August, employment in leisure and hospitality was unchanged after increasing by an average of 350,000 per month over the prior 6 months. In August, a job gain in arts, entertainment, and recreation was 36,000. So that was the number for those departments. And that was more than offset by a loss in food services and drinking places, which was down 42,000. Employment in leisure and hospitality is down by 1.7 million or 10% since February of 2020, the Department of Labor reported. So, and of course, people are blaming the Delta variant of course you can right now. Of course you can blame anything on COVID and public health. But Ben Shapiro made a really good point on his Twitter page. He said, quote, the problem is not the Delta variant. The problem is the media, the Biden administration, and blue state politicians telling people to freak the hell out about the Delta variant. This has resulted in the vaccinated freaking out and the unvaccinated acting as they always did. He's right. It's just, I mean, of course, with these numbers comes more economic problems that will continue, including the record inflation that's hitting the U.S. economy right now, because the Department of Labor's Producer Price Index recorded a year-over-year rise of 7.8% in July, which is the highest level ever recorded. So make sure your wallets stay tight, folks, the best you can. And to actually speaking of the money and jobs report and all of that, speaking of all that, so this is about small businesses that have vacant job openings. So this is also, this article I'm reading here is from finance.yahoo.com. And they report, this is their headline, half of U.S. small businesses have unfilled positions. So roughly 50% of small businesses in the U.S. reported unfilled positions in August, a 1% increase from July and the largest since 1986. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm looking at the graph here, and it's big, big vacancies. And it keeps going higher and higher and higher. So 91% of small business owners say there were few or no qualified applicants for open positions in August. 41% of small business owners said they've raised compensation. In addition, a record 32% of small business owners said they plan to add payrolls in the coming months. And that's what Bloomberg reported. It says, quote, owners are raising compensation in an attempt to attract workers, and these costs are being passed on to consumers through price hikes for goods and services, creating inflation pressure. And that's what Bill Dunkelberg, the NFIB chief economist, said. So how about this? Now that the unemployment money has stopped, maybe we should stop giving out money for free. I think that's a wonderful idea to actually help this out. I mean, what do you guys think? I think that's a good idea. Just stop printing money and giving it out to everyone for free. I think we should just stop doing that, please. That would be good, because then we'd have more people at work. So now that unemployment is over, folks, get your ass off the couch and fill these spots. Hello, we need you. Yeah, now that the money's over, we need you more than you need the government. Hate to tell you that, but it's true. Okay, Australia, what is going on down there? What is happening? Because every time I open my phone, I open my laptop, something new is happening with you guys that I don't really like. And I don't think the rest of the world likes what you're doing to the citizens of Australia. So we need to add this to the list of obscenities of programs that are being pushed by the country's government. And this one especially, this one's pretty bad. This is how I'm comparing it to George Orwell's 1984. So what the federal government is doing is they're trying to combat quote-unquote online abuse, right? So they're having the police going into the individual social media accounts. And by the way, their social media accounts will also be linked to their passports, like the people's passports. So the individual social media will be linked to the individual's passport. Yeah, that's messed up. Literally. So they're literally going in and being Big Brother with the excuse of the online abuse situation. Like, what? Like, excuse me. What is going on over there? We need to check on Australia. We just need to give it a hug. I think something's mentally not right with the government over there. I mean, I thought our government was bad. Woohoo, Australia. I am sorry to my listeners in Australia. I really am praying for you guys, because this is messed up. Australia has become a country now. This is what it looks like. I mean, this is a country with no civil liberties, limitless government powers, and a full-on COVID lockdown situation. And they are completely doing the segregation thing. Unvaccinated over here, vaccinated over here, over there. Okay. So the question you got to ask, I've been asking about Australia. I was like, wasn't always this crazy? Was Australia always this whacked? And we just didn't notice because we were living our lives. And now I'm talking about pre-COVID. But I guess, but I'm assuming though, like every other country in the world, the COVID hysteria just blew up the countries like completely. I mean, but this one particularly, Australia in particular, the COVID hysteria did blow this country completely like over the cliff and down. I mean, they're gone. The leaders are absolutely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, they have completely lost their minds. It's a shiz show over there. Times 10. And yeah, the news anchors over in down in Australia, they need to be asking the country's leaders about all this. But that's only if the country still has a free media, which after I wrap up with this headline here, it probably won't, because they have literally gone completely insane. The Australians, the actual citizens of Australia, I am praying for you guys. Keep protesting. Keep going against this nonsense, because believe me, the more you do that, you will win. You will win. Speaking of whacked, let's talk about how the California Senate passed a bill requiring gender-neutral displays for toys and childcare products in stores. I mean, there's nothing more important than that. I mean, God, nothing like fires or homelessness or the recall. Yeah, let's focus on gender-neutral displays. Yeah, gotcha. So it says here, California could soon force large department stores to display some child products in gender-neutral ways after the state legislature passed a bill on Wednesday aimed at getting rid of traditional pink and blue marketing schemes for items like toys and toothbrushes. The California Senate on Monday passed a bill that would require stores with at least 500 employees to maintain gender-neutral sections in their stores. So let's see. Are customers asking for this? Are department stores asking for this? Are toy manufacturers asking for this? Yeah, I don't think so at all. I mean, this is crazy. And it continues here. It says, the bill would not outlaw traditional boys and girls sections in department stores, but it would require retailers to have a gender-neutral section to display, quote-unquote, a reasonable selection of items. Quote, regardless of whether they have been traditionally marketed for either girls or for boys, end quote. It would only apply toys and childcare products, not clothes. I mean, what? You gotta love the ideas that the leftists come up with. I mean, the world is burning around you, literally, California, and you're focusing on how to display gender-neutral items. Because, again, like I said in the beginning of this whole thing, that's what you should be focusing on, of course. Not the fires, not the homelessness, not the recall. You focus on gender-neutral toys. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, this is just insane. So, anyway, that's all I have to say. Just, Hey, Common Sensocrats, make sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. I am also updating videos for my YouTube and Rumble channel, but definitely subscribe to those anyway. So hit that button that looks like a bell so you can immediately get notified when those videos are released. Like and follow on all of the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Getter. Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and of course, follow me on commonsensocrats.locals.com. If you have any suggestions on topics that you want me to cover and or have any questions, don't hesitate to email common.sensocrat@gmail.com. And now, back to the show. Biden's political pressure on the FDA has caused two top vaccine regulators at the federal organization to resign in protest. Oh gosh, yeah, I'm sure that this will help Biden's plan to decrease vaccine hesitancy and encourage more people to get it. Dear God. So this was actually in Politico. And by the way, that's a left publication, usually. So just, you know, keep that in mind, everybody. So the Biden administration's September 20th deadline to approve the COVID vaccine booster shot has made some people in the organization push back against the political pressure, including two vaccine regulators who have resigned. So it says here, to start off, says Acting FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock sent a memo Tuesday evening to vaccine regulators reiterating her support as frustration over the process spreads within their ranks. So it says on Tuesday, two top FDA vaccine regulators resigned, a decision that one former official said was rooted in anger over the agency's lack of autonomy in the booster planning so far. A current health official said the pair, Marion Gruber and Philip Krause, left over differences with FDA's top vaccine official, Peter Marks. Now the agency is facing a potential mutiny among its staff and outside vaccine advisors, several of whom feel cut out of key decisions and who view the plan to offer boosters to all adults as premature and unnecessary. So, there are still questions about the necessity and effectiveness of a third vaccine dose. But with Joe Biden, that won't stop him from setting a deadline with no consideration of how the trials and science are done. Like, he wants it on September 20th. And that's that, guys. Like, that's it. No, who cares? Who cares? It's just the vaccine. Get it. Get the vaccine. I could see him in the meetings if he's actually going to the meetings. I don't think he's actually going to the meetings, but that's a whole other episode at a whole other time. That's not good. This all is not good. But trust the science, right? That's what they're telling us. Trust the science. And it continues here in the article. It says, but for now, much of the discord within the agency centers on the administration's decision to push ahead with boosters before FDA's top scientists had a chance to weigh in. It was the administration's booster plan. It wasn't the FDA's booster plan, said Paul Offit, a University of Pennsylvania infectious disease expert who sits on FDA's vaccine advisory committee. Quote, the administration has kind of backed themselves up against the wall a little bit here, end quote. Yeah, the FDA may approve a vaccine booster, but it will be according to the Biden administration's plan. Many people... And actually, many people I know were waiting on the FDA approval before getting the vaccine. I just know people personally that were just like, well, I'm going to wait. They were like, I'm going to wait until it's FDA approved because this all seems very rushed. By the way, these are even some of my Democrat friends that said this. So I'm just putting that out there for y'all. But I'm telling you, though, if the meddling of Biden and his people can influence the CDC on this major decision... Yeah, then it becomes really hard to trust the science, unfortunately. Like this whole past year and a half, it's been really hard to trust the science. But they just continuing showing themselves as political puppets over and over again. And this time, yeah, I don't think we're going to buy it anymore, guys. So, yeah. Biden voter rejecting Florida diner forced to close due to popularity. The Central Florida diner that announced it will not be serving anyone who still supports President Biden was temporarily forced to shutter on Wednesday after selling out of food. How amazing is this story? So it was literally less than a week after posting a sign that told supporters of the Biden administration to please take your business elsewhere. And I mean, that's just amazing. It's called the DeBerry Diner in Central Florida, and they ran out of food. That's why they had to shut down. I mean, that is just incredible. And I mean, it's not great they closed for a week, but I love the reason why, though. And it said, so this is what the sign actually read outside of the diner. It says, quote, "If you voted for and continue to support and stand behind the worthless, inept, and corrupt administration currently inhabiting the White House that is complicit in the death of our servicemen and women in Afghanistan, please take your business elsewhere. God bless America and God bless our soldiers," end quote. The owner named Angie, I think it's Ugardi. I forget how you say her last name, but I think that's how you do it, Ugardi. She has owned the diner for 5 years and said posting the sign was, quote, the only thing she felt like she could do in response to the disaster in Afghanistan. She said, quote, "I was just angry. I was just let down. I felt like one of those mothers or wives or sisters who were going to get that knock on the door. I've had people come to the door and look at it and turn around and walk away. And I've had people come into my kitchen while I'm cooking and say, hey, I like your sign." So I love that. She said most of her regular customers are military veterans. And an entire wall inside the diner is full military photos and memorabilia. It says, quote, she said, "If you really, really still stand behind what's allowed this to happen in the way that it has happened, which was unnecessary, then I really, really don't want to be associated with you in any way and certainly don't want your business," end quote. I mean, that is just, this is incredible. So, yeah, so she'll be open again in now less than a week, folks. So if you want to go say hey to her, go, because that is very amazing and super epic, and I'm very proud of her for doing that. So there's a lowercase movement, apparently, at Mount Royal University in Calgary, Canada. So Dr. Linda, this is actually on their Twitter page. I'll go ahead and read this part for you. So it says, this is from Mount Royal University's Twitter page, Dr. Linda Manyguns, epic last name, by the way, joins the lowercase movement to reject the symbols of hierarchy wherever they are found and will not use capital letters except to acknowledge the indigenous struggle for recognition. Yeah, so they capitalize the I in indigenous. If you want to go to their Twitter page and go to August 30th, 2021. Yeah, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, like I said, Manyguns, that's a great last name. That's pretty epic. It's a shame that she's using this kind of logic with her last name. She is an indigenous person, and I am talking about her right now. I am acknowledging her. But I think it's okay to use capitalization. I think it's okay. According to my education, it is grammatically correct. So yeah, there is actually no such thing as a lowercase movement outside of Dr. Manyguns' imagination. Just so you know. Researched it. There's not much on it. So I hope this doesn't become a main thing, like the multitude of genders that are out there. But yeah, lowercase movement. That's quite interesting. But yeah, and she was, her title, this is a very interesting title. So she is now, she got this job, she got this position back in April. She says here, Dr. Linda Manyguns, PhD, will become the Associate Vice President of Indigenization and Decolonization at Mount Royal starting May 1st, 2021. I'm reading the letter here. And it says, in this new position, Manyguns will be the senior Indigenous leader at the university, providing vision, strategy, leadership, and direction to advance Indigenization and decolonization commitments. Whew. Yeah, this is, Oh, they also compared her to E.E. Cummings, Bell Hooks, and a couple other people. Yeah. I mean, really? At least they use capital letters. So, just saying. Yeah, so just to keep going here. Yeah, they basically, I mean, they talk about, oh, this is an example and all this stuff. And yeah, it's just crazy. The fact that she's actually being a lowercase movement leader right now is interesting. So, look, call me a hater, all right? I don't participate in this unless I'm talking about it right now. But call me a hater because I'm a hater of all this nonsense. So, yeah. '96-year-old World War II veteran goes for one more flight in a vintage plane. Take a listen to this, guys. This 96-year-old is a boss.
In the Darlington area, the organization Dream Flights gave World War II veterans one more flight.
This is such a sweet story. And News 13's Lacey Lee has the Positively Carolina story.
Today is probably the second most exciting moment next to my honeymoon 70 years ago.
96-year-old World War II veteran Rocky Gannon is living one of his dreams, flying in a fully restored 1940 Boeing Spirit plane.
I have almost 400 combat missions. Somebody advised me I was in World War II, Korea, a year in the Belgian Congo in civilian clothes, and Vietnam. So everything I thought of as a child, I've done.
And today, volunteer pilot Marcus Smith took him on his last flight.
There's no better time than now. We estimate we've got about 5 to 7 years left before the majority of the World War II veterans are gone. If they didn't go off and do what they did, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing now.
A last flight that Gannon says bring back memories of his first one.
I think back to that first day, how kind that gentleman was. I was 9 years old. He didn't realize he died later flying into a mountain somewhere. But I think of him often. I said, God, if he only could see the things I've done as a result of him giving me that airplane ride.
With a smile on his face and his daughters by his side, Gannon says one thing is for sure.
I bet the world's worst and this is the world's greatest. So I'm happy and hoping I can hang out a little longer.
Reporting for News 13, I'm Lacey Lee.
Wow.
I did it.
Wow. Good for him. It's amazing. In case you didn't hear that really well, it just says, I was in World War II. He said, quote, I was in World War II, Korea, a year in Belgium, Congo, in civilian clothes and Vietnam. So everything I thought of as a child, I've done. It's just, I mean, how sweet is that? And if you want to look it up, I'll go ahead and just share it on my Facebook and everywhere just so you can see the plane that he got to ride. It's just cool. And the guy's right. He said, maybe we have another 5 to 7 years and then all the World War II veterans all of them will be gone at that point. So it's just devastating to think like that, but it's the truth. That's the way, unfortunately, life works. But good for him for doing it. I'm so glad he did it. I'm glad the rest of his co-veterans got to do it with him as well. So that's really cool.
Hero saves elderly couple from collapsed building, quote unquote, by the grace of God. Listen to this.
First, we have to get to breaking news in the city. 3 properties collapsed in Kensington, and tonight 2 people are hurt. From Sky Fox, you can see a pretty large response at the scene. Several crews working there to dig through the rubble and secure the area.
And right now, we know both buildings had stores on the first floor, while the second and third floors were apartments. 2 people were pulled from the rubble. Police believe they are husband and wife, both in the hospital in stable condition, maybe in large part thanks to a good Samaritan that we spoke to tonight.
I tried to move this one beam, and as I moved this one beam, I felt the rubble coming down. And I just gave her a kiss on the forehead. And I said, God be with us. And I pulled her out. So.
You saved 2 lives tonight.
By the grace of God.
Wow.
Wow.
Powerful.
Incredible. No one else was hurt, we are told, and still no word tonight on what caused the collapse, but we'll be keeping an eye on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. That was David Velasquez who rescued the elderly couple. So, David, you're a hero, my man. You are a hero. Those are your headlines. Due to another scheduling conflict, there will not be a Wednesday episode this week. So look out for Thursday's episode where we will talk about what's going on in Columbus, Ohio for the Let's Go Locals segment. The saying that I have today is,
Never trust a person that has let you down more than twice. Once was a warning. Twice was a lesson. And anything more than that is simply taking advantage. Have a great day, my common sensocrats. And until next time, bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and rate 5 stars in the Apple Podcasts. I need to spread the word as much as possible about this podcast, and you all are such a big help for that. So thank you so much, and I look forward to you all to listen to the next episode.